You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, walking together this road as we always do. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4 is our telephone number. You can call and ask anything you might like, give a suggestion, a thought, an experience. Oh, I love experiences. You can also text. You can remain anonymous. Of course, you can be anonymous. You can email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And you can become a friend of the show. If you like what you hear, log on to breadboxmedia.com, find Dr. Michelle Live, click over, and you can become a friend of the show. So we will keep you posted as to all our changes because we are constantly changing, and we are constantly changes. That's I am a change. Always in transformation, Breadbox Media is, but so are we. We really are. We are. It's a kind of a little cliche to say, oh, I'm a work in progress, but I really am a work in progress, and so are you. So what are we going to talk about today? Oh, there are so many things rolling around. And I apologize, yesterday we were going to continue on our topic and something came up, and so we had to do an archive. So I'm going to change things up a little bit. Today, as I searched around thinking about, all right, well, we continue on our topic of temperaments, which we can. I know some of you have expressed that you are enjoying that and you want to continue on. I was talking about the four temperaments and especially using two books, one called Transformation of the Soul and the other one, The Four Temperaments by Randy Wolf or Rolf. Not sure how to pronounce her last name, R-O-L-F-E. And they've been very enjoyable. And they've opened up kind of a door. And it's really great to know and to understand the complexity, but also the simplicity of who you are. Because in one way that you look at it, if you look at the idea of the humors, the temperaments, which is a very... even the word temperament, it sounds like a very concrete with the consonants and the harsh sounds, temperaments. Humors is more melodic. Humor is more vaporous. It is more ethereal. It gives you the impression, if I were to tell you right now, close your eyes and imagine temperament and then imagine humor. What is a humor? And we talk about even now when we have the other form of the word humor, which is in something funny or humorous, which causes laughter. It's a very intangible, isn't it? It's very intangible. It's very vaporous. It's very floaty. And that's what we are. We are in constant transformation. And just like if you've ever seen vapors, colored vapors on our smoke, how quickly you can go from a beautiful, soft swirl to a quick 90-degree turn and a change. That's part of us. That's the spirit in us. And so in that reality, we are never stagnant. It is never too late. We've never stopped. We continue on. We may not always be in the same form. We may not always be in the same direction, but we always have a choice of change. So today I think I want to talk about who's at your table, talking about connectivity, talking about loneliness, talking about where you're at in your life. If you are home, if you are working, if you have young children at home, if you have no children, if you are single, if you are elderly, there is not going to be a person alive who does not have some moment of abject loneliness. The space between saying goodnight to someone who you might love and who may feel like the person that will always be your companion, but there's always a space between saying goodnight and falling asleep and being in some instant completely and utterly alone. You may not experience that right now, but take my word for it. There are those places. There are those times, or there's those times when you're in the shower or you're walking and you just realize you're alone. That at the end of the day, at the real day, it's you and God. And that's it. Now, many of us, it just seems like a nice philosophy, a nice thing to say. And I don't mean nice. It seems like somehow we can compassionately understand. But we come from a place of plenty. We come from a place of connectivity. We come from a place of being busy with interacting with people at our jobs and saying hello to our spouses or our boyfriends or our girlfriends or our taking the kids off and always having them crawling around and laughing and giggling and messing up and being dirty, and we have to clean up after them. And this keeps us in a constant form of connectedness to a point. And then comes the day when it all vanishes like the vapor I told you about. Sometimes it vanishes slowly, sometimes it vanishes instantly. Sometimes people really do go to bed at night. And I've known a few, not many. They go to bed at night, say goodnight to their spouse, and they wake up and the spouse is dead, no longer living. There are times where you come home from just the best time of your life, Disneyland. Or as someone many, many years ago was going to the, coming in for like a Thanksgiving, a family Thanksgiving. And the parent, one of the parents' father just had a little malfunction. The father or the mother was picking them up at the airport and had a heart attack on the way. And they waited and waited and waited and wondered what happened, and the person had died. These things are, we hear about them all the time. Maybe, and I'm sure maybe you would like to share some of your experiences that that has happened to you. Maybe it's happened recently. It's a very painful, painful reality. And that those moments, you can't even grasp what it's like to have this ripped from you. The root of a plant ripped out of the ground. You could almost hear the sounds of the roots ripping out of the ground when those moments are ripped out of you. When you come home and you find a note that says, I've left you. Your spouse has left you. People have come home and found notes. Or I've taken the children and I'm gone. Or have looked at you when you've made a dinner or you've done come home to talk about what happened during the day. And there's the look and your spouse tells you there's someone else. And the disbelief, starting with the disbelief and then the roots ripping out of your heart, basically, just as they would out of some wet earth. I know you've all ripped something out of the earth, whether it's grass, weeds, the roots of something. And you know that little tug, and but you hear that noise. That's how it feels. It feels that way. And there's so many people out there now who are having to go through decades of items and things that you put in drawers or you hung in a closet, or you have in an attic or a garage, or things that you picked out together. And through death or abandonment or something, you're just throwing them away. You're either giving them away to somebody or to some organization, or you're putting them in the trash can. They had meaning. They have no meaning. They have only now painful meaning. These are all just tough spots in life. Same thing that's happened in when you lose a child. There's no, you can't describe it. So I can't describe it here. You cannot describe that pain. You can experience, you can empathize. Now, a whole other subject is that we are growing entire generations without empathy. It is like growing a plant without color, or growing a plant without a essential nutrient. Eventually, it will show up in the population. But this is a whole different story. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about, how do you connect if you are unconnected? How do you recognize where that short circuit is in you? And how do you go about becoming unlonely when you have a lonely space, even if you are in the middle of a very intact family or a very intact job and everything seems to be going very well? Do you have that one instant in your day when you feel abjectly alone? And what space is that? We're going to define that on the other side of the break and talk about why that's actually a good thing. This is Dr. Michelle.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So loneliness, I know you've all felt something. And oftentimes when I left the break, or before the break, I said, oh, and it's a good thing. Well, it's a good thing in this way. In the way that nobody wants it, I don't want it, and I don't want you to have it. I don't want you to experience it, but you are going to experience it. That's just it. You will experience it. That's just part of living. You can't not experience it, because at the core of loneliness is the empty space, like up in the, I mean, we really are a microcosm of everything that God has created. We are like little universes inside of little universes inside of little universes. And then we end up being this form called the human being. And all the other things on this earth are pretty much different configurations of the same kind of stuff. So, and then you look outside of our planet and we have this amazing, very other worlds. And, you know, we connect the dots, but yet it's almost unfathomable to most of us. Physicists, maybe not so much, but it really can be unfathomable. It's a wonder. It's awe inspiring. But loneliness is part of that space in between spaces. So we have, even if you look at something as tiny, I know this will draw down to your daily life, I promise you. But if you look at something like the atom, or subatomic particles, even though they are tiny, to the point, which is an understatement, to the point where it's not, you can't even see the space. You can't experience the space because it makes up what we think of as solid matter. But the spaces in between the little particles or whatever they are, the particles that aren't particles, is unfathomable. It's huge, huge space. And there's seemingly nothing there. Now, on the one hand, I am not leading to say, and God must fill this space. But God must fill this space. In other words, the loneliness and the dichotomy of life on earth and this understanding that without God, you are nothing. It is a lonely place to be. Sad to say, but it is, because the temporal joys that we have, the corporal joys that we have here on earth are tangible and beautiful and wonderful. And when they are ripped from us, the pain is deep. The pain is very, very deep. So when we look at that space of loneliness that we can experience at any time, and many of you are experiencing it right now in the pretty obvious ways. You've been ripped in half by having your marriage end. You have been pulverized by a death of a child or a death in the family, or you're elderly. And all that you had worked for your whole life with joy and enthusiasm at some point is not only slowing down, but there's nobody around you, or the people around you trivialize you. We don't respect our elders. We don't have elders, as Father Richard Rohr said in one of his talks. We no longer have elders. We only have the elderly. And many of us, all of us, thousands and millions of us, because you all will get there, God willing. You can't do anything about it because the avalanche is going in a completely opposite direction. But when we talk about now, let's go back. What is there then? What do we do? How do we ameliorate this feeling? Well, most of us have ideas of what we want. And most of us search and search and search and search for others of our kind who are experiencing something similar. Because then we have yet a connection. So that's why we have our groups. Let's say our grief groups for someone who's lost a spouse. Then there's grief groups for people who've lost children. And maybe there's addiction groups, and there's Bible study groups, there's women's groups, there's young women's groups, there's young mother groups. People who find their groups. Ask the animals and they shall tell you. They find their pack, they find their tribe, they find their group. Then there are those who don't seem to fit into any group. And I heard it said yesterday, I was listening to someone yesterday, and I have to get the, over the break, I'll get the name. And it was a TED talk, actually. And this person was talking about, was a man, and he appeared middle-aged, not, or maybe a little younger. And I think he's a psychologist or a philosopher. I think he's a philosopher. But he brought up something really beautiful and very haunting. And he said when he was in Canada, there is a, I'll have to look at the right word. I think it's a Canuck. I will look up the right word for it. But it is actually a series of rocks. And every once in a while, you can be on your path, either walking or driving, and you'll see like what looks like a statue made of rocks of a person. And every once in a while, you'll see just a pile of rocks. And in fact, in these different areas in Canada, you're told by the Park and Forestry Department to not make them yourself. So tourists, do not pile rocks onto rocks, and don't make rock people. And the reason is that almost like coyotes do in the ancient times, the indigenous people would make these symbols out of rocks. So if you saw a pile of a certain number of rocks, it meant water was near. If you saw it in a different configuration, it was a point that said, I've been here before. I've been here too. And he said, when you see the rocks of a person, where it's obviously a person standing there, a big statue, basically made out of rocks and whatever they make them out of, it says a person has been here. A human being has been here, or there are human beings ahead. And this was so haunting to me to hear how ancient this practice is, but how deep our need to understand that we are not traversing completely in isolation. And as we already know, if you bring it back now to modern times, isolation is a form of punishment and torture. Too much isolation and you, what they say is, go insane. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you would stay insane, but you begin to just kind of implode. Your mind keeps going here, keeps going there. It has no frame of reference because our vapor, our humor, our spirit needs to have the connectivity of other people. And it's said many places in every religion you can think of about the connectivity. Even the hermits, even the isolates don't just isolate. They recognize the need to speak. If, let's say, you're a cloister, every once in a great while, you must do this, but you also are connected with a bunch of other people who are doing the same thing. Or you know that 2 miles down the road is another hermit, or that every once in a while, maybe 2-3 times a year, there's a time where there's a gathering. So we're going to take more of this up on the other side, because what does it have to do for you today? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about another thing that was said in this very same TED Talk that's going to change your idea of who you are and how you find your connectivity. And it may not be exactly where you think you're going to find it. And we give ourselves so much pain and agony, or let me put it this way, we don't do it to ourselves on purpose, but we find ourselves in such pain and agony because the very people that we long for, let's say your own child or your own parent, who will never be there, even though they are present on this earth. And we are in such pain because of that. We have a sense of isolation and a sense of separation, but there are others, people who have gone before you, who can help put some sense into this and help you. Because there are those times when we feel that no matter where we go, no one is going to understand exactly what it is we have been through. I'll give you a couple examples on the other side of the break. I'll also get this guy's name for you as well. All right, I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Okay.
back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together as we do every single day, Monday through Friday. And also we walk 7 days a week, actually. We're just not always on the air. But I'm always walking with you. You're always walking with me. Always, always, always. So I told you, sometimes I say, well, I'll tell you that after the break and I'll try to find it, and I never find it. But I found both the things I wanted to mention to you. The first one was this TED Talk, not in any kind of Catholic or Christian way, from a man named Brendan Myers. He is a philosopher. And he's been through Canada and Europe, and he's a very eclectic person. He's written books. This man is very prolific. Fiction books, nonfiction books. He's worked for labor unions, game design studios. So he's quite a guy. And I really had not heard of him before yesterday, actually. And it was quite by accident that I happened upon his TED Talk. And if, in case you don't know what TED Talks are, it's a capital T, capital E, capital D, as in dog. And it's just a series of on all different kinds of things, mainly usually kind of a self-help thing or motivational or with an uplifting message. In the way that it's not really a message. Some of the talks might be on, you know, if you find yourself being a misfit, or how to start a startup group, or what you need to in your life to marry well, or that kind of thing. There's all different kinds of people from all different walks of life who do these TED Talks. And I've only heard really maybe a handful of TED Talks in my time. Some are about anger, some are about rebooting your life, you know, just things like that. Even some about depression. They're very interesting, the ones that I have stumbled upon or have been directed to. This one, Brendan Myers, is called The Importance of Loneliness. And this is where he was talking about and pointing to, and I told you I'd find out how to say it, Inukshuk. So it's Inukshuk. And those are stone people, basically, these stones. And what this is, and I will just give you a brief thought, because it's about, I mean, it's fun to look at this historically, just like, Stonehenge or something like that. But it's very beautiful. It says that if you look it up quickly in Wikipedia, the Inukshuk may have been used for navigation as a point of reference or a marker for travel routes, fishing places, hunting grounds, places of veneration, or to mark food, or mark where there's food, also to mark where there are other people close by. So a single stone in an upright manner might mean something. A human configuration of stones means that there were people nearby, or there are people ahead. It's like, the road signs, basically. And we can find this actually, interestingly, in our own country, because if you go to Arizona and you look at and you go to the desert, if you have a knowledgeable person with you, which I was so fortunate to have at one point, you can be pointed out where there are actual carvings in the mountain. They just look like, I call them mountains, but they're the ragged, not quite mountains, but they're the ragged desert, whatever. Ancient mountains. And they're not carvings, but they just look like regular hills and the desert landscape. But if you look closely, you can, and it's pointed out to you, you can see where the Spaniards, when they first came here, would have a different little niches cut out of the rock. And certain niches would mean things like there's gold or water or a settlement. So it's a very interesting way that people did things way back when. We have now billboards. So, but what he was saying about that is that this one lone figure on top of a mountain would symbolize to someone, maybe, who was wandering alone in the wilderness, or maybe a group of people that are isolated, alone, not sure where they're going to find food. But it says, I have been here before. I have been here before. Now, this talk and the importance of loneliness is a very interesting, I think it's a very worthwhile talk. And it's very good. But one thing he said just in passing that I kind of caught on to, because it comes back to our Christian way, it comes back to families, it comes back to divorces, it comes back to deaths, is that he talked about how appreciation of even of being around your own table with your friends and families. And I thought, you know, in my line of work, I have people who don't have tables. I know people who don't have any tables. I've been in situations myself, life places in myself, where I've had no table. So what do you do if you have no table? If your table is gone, if there is no one at your table, you don't even have a table, and you once did, then what do you do? And you can look at that physically. You can also look at that metaphorically. Well, of course, the fundamental answer, or the building block answer, is you go on, and you will go on. And as everyone ahead of you may tell you, you will go on. And they know that they cannot reach that hole in you at the time. And, you know, we all say those things we don't know. It's always those that are never enough. And people say, oh, I just don't want to hear this. We all have said, you know, whatever I can do, or, you know, they're at a better place, or whatever you do, because you want to help and you can't help. But if you're the recipient of, I know where you've been, I've been through divorce too, or I know where you've been, I've had a child die as well. It helps in some ways, but you also realize, if you can think back to your moment when it is happening to you, it is 100% your lonely place. There are no people around at that time. It is your place, and only you experience it. Now, of course, having a net to fall in of people around you, as one of my friends who has 6 children in her family, when their father died and they were all adults, the mother had already passed. Her brother said, it's a lot easier to divide this pain up among 6 people than if it was just one. But many of us only are one. Many of us are just one. We don't have, even if we have 10 people in our family. You have been a scapegoat, or you have been the outsider. You have been the misfit, or what they used to call the black sheep of the family. Or you had once been the beloved. I was talking to someone yesterday, actually a very gregarious and respected and connected person whose family member had been ostracized by one of the other family members, to where they were called things like toxic and crazy and all that, in a way that really was, well, there's no way that that should be actually done, but in the way that was so isolating and so confusing for that family member, that it caused such agony and such pain, and so many years go by in that framework. And sometimes what you realize is that there's no way that you can fight against it. You try your best. Talk to any woman who has been mentally abused, or any man who's been mentally abused. There is no way. The most common thing that people start with is to try to explain. Well, no, you don't understand. I didn't do that. Or no, you don't understand. That's not what I meant. Or no, I wasn't trying to hurt you. Here, look. That's how it starts. But over time, when you try to meet that head on, it's about trying to change your surroundings, change the person that's harming you, or explain yourself away or just try to show reason. And when you find someone like that, or again, in a different scenario, when someone has lost someone very dear to them, even if 10 people have experienced the same loss of the same person, you experience it in very different ways. And when you go home, the hole is there. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about, now what do you do with the hole? Who do you have at your table? Where is your table? Does your table change? If you have an empty table, is it time to go build a new one? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And you can always call 573-4BREAD-4 with, how did you handle those moments of extreme loneliness? Or even when people would say, well, what's wrong with you? Look around you. Look around you and see how much you have to be grateful for and live with. Sometimes you just need to understand that you've reached those dark and lonely places. And what we can do now to make that part of our life rather than isolating us out. See you on the other side of the break.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking today together. As always, together, together, together. We're joined in this fabric of life. We cannot unjoin. We are here today in 2016. We are breathing this air. And in doing so, no matter where you are, we are joined. We are conjoined twins in some respect, just like conjoined twins. We are completely individual, but we share the same heart. We share some, well, depending on the twin, but we share the same organs, because that organ, that fabric that we're all a part of, we need to be in it. You need to be in it, because if your thread is broken, my thread is broken. That's just the way it is. If my thread is broken, your thread is broken. And then we have the magic in the ethereal sense, not the witchcraft magic, but the magic and the God and the breath and the life that says, wait, 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 here's my breath. Here's a breath. And here's how we sew it back together again. But it'll be a new fabric. It'll be a different fabric. And so when we talk about the idea of being lonely, the idea of I wanted this child. I wanted this family. I wanted this marriage. I wanted the love of my mother. I wanted the love of my father. I wanted 10 kids. I have none. I wanted, as we talked about, I decided not to go back into that because it was so depressing, but the movement of regretting having children and a lot of the quote regrets, again, it was like making these huge conclusions out of something that really was a passing thing. And it really is passing. Yeah, you might regret. Do I regret with my musical talent that I didn't practice the violin every day since I got it? Sure, I regret that because I can't play anything worth listening to on the violin. And I love the violin and I still have one. But that doesn't mean that I regret ever having one or having had the experience of having the frustration with it or the things that interrupted my life with it. It's just what is. Do I regret, you know, we go through our lives regretting. Sure, I do have regrets and I have pains. And even in confessions, we always say, well, we go to confession. Why can't we, you know, it's about forgiving yourself. But when we look out there, I think I want to leave you today with this concept that just a couple little words. It's not that this particular TED Talk, it's 20 minutes, that it was like the most earth-shaking thing in the world, but I loved a couple of the images of the Inukchuk, the image of what that symbolizes and how he brought that out. He connected his dots. That's where it is so beautiful to look at people everywhere. That's why I've told you before, I'm a little bit, I personally don't like things like Pandora or things that, well, you'd like this, you must like this, because they're going to give me more of me. I don't want more of me. I want to know about you. I want to see how you connect dots, because in seeing how you connect dots, it helps me learn a new way to connect my own. I don't need an isolated shell where I'm fed me, where I'm fed the same things over and over and over that I liked at one point. I don't need to hear all the things that I used to love. Maybe I love them still, but I love more. Love is not, I don't want to put conditions on those. I don't want to keep seeing, oh, you poor thing. That's why I've always reacted to that in my life. Now, there are times I've done that and said that to people. I don't think it's a bad thing. And I understand it's their way of connecting with me. You poor thing, how can you go through this? How can you keep going? How did you go through so much? But part of that makes me then aware that, oh no, this isn't good. When the hope is, and what I got when I was listening to this man, Brendan Myers, last name M-Y-E-R-S, first name Brendan, B as in boy, R-E-N-D-A-N. It's a 20-minute TED Talk. Again, I can't even say that I even remember his conclusion, but just a few of the little things he said spurred some things. And he talked about how being in a group, let's say, you do have your own connectedness. Now, most of you, then I take it the next step because I talk to you. So I know that you go to the group and temporarily it's a Band-Aid, but the adhesive is very weak. You go home and you're still lonely. You hear something encouraging about what how to connect with your spouse, and your spouse just is not on board. Or your spouse has absolutely no motivation to understand what it is to unconditionally love. And they're still carrying on in their own ways. He talked about how sometimes we do fill our loneliness with things like addictions, things like blaming the other person for not fulfilling them. You are my soulmate. Now you aren't my soulmate. So now I have no soul because you took my soul away. See how that, you know, those, that's great stuff for love songs and movies, but it isn't necessarily the fabric with which God has created you. God creates you with the fabric to say, I am an ever-changing, ever-weaving, a never-deteriorating fabric. And so we had this thread and this thread and this thread together, and a couple of you broke it for a minute. But it's like it's a living chain. You can regain the hands. May not be the same hand, but you can regain them. And you do that by understanding first and foremost that loneliness is an open wound inside of a person that is uniquely theirs. However, being able to say, I have been through it and I know that there's a place that you go to, I can never know, even though I know what you're going through. It is a beautiful thing. The soldiers taught me well with that, saying nobody who has not been in those shoes in Vietnam, Korea, World War II, Afghanistan, can ever understand what I went through, and you're the only one who understands. Knowing when I reminded one of them, I'm thinking of with laughter, well, I've never been there. But the point is, and so what that taught both of us, I didn't need to be there. We connect on some level that I do not grasp, but I didn't get it from a book. And you don't get it from a book. Now, books can help you be in those positions to be a leader of a group. This guy, why is he doing a TED Talk? Because he's accomplished because he's studied certain things. And when he's put these things together, when you look at, when you gain the appreciation from something that is not like you, you can connect those dots. You will find a connection. And as he said over a few times in different ways in his talk, it's the idea that monument, that Inukshuk out there says, I've been here too. The group that is set up for people grieving widows, grieving widowers, grieving parents, I've been here too. I talked with a man just 4 days ago whose adult son, when many of our sons and daughters have families, died from an overdose. And the pain and the loneliness surrounding that. I remember the loneliness that I felt when my brother had AIDS back in the day where it was not a common household situation and people did not live from it. And I remember feeling right around with my medical, other medical students. I remember feeling like, you know, if he had had anything else in this world, there would have been people rallying around. And I felt really sad inside because everyone was like silent. Then no one said anything and just went about their business. But someone else of my group who may have had an aunt or an uncle with breast cancer or pancreatic cancer or had just had an accident, there was a rally. But for my situation, there was no rally. And I remember it was a very lonely feeling, a very lonely feeling. Because I understood the isolation. And when I'm thinking about it now, the right before we cry, the reason I want to cry the right before we end is because I think about not mine so much as what did my brother go through during that time? In fact, his statement was, I hear the morticians don't even want to touch the bodies. So where does that go? But yet in that moment and in his life, he found connectedness. Not just with me as his sister, because as he started drifting from this life, you could see he was detaching from this life, going to his next life. But the things he found, he said, am I going to die soon? I'm receiving the wisdom. It seems like I'm receiving the wisdom of an old man. The dots come closer and closer together so you can see the formation. So all I'm going to do today is ask you, if you are at a place, are you covering up your loneliness with things that will not serve you and dead-end streets instead of standing as your own Inukshuk saying, I am here. I've been here before, reaching out, maybe in a volunteer, maybe in someone you see at a mother's group, maybe somewhere. Start the search today. It will always lead you into God. And God will always be there with you. Sometimes in our human world, feeling those roots ripped from us, that ethereal just isn't tangible enough. That's why we have each other. Well, you're welcome to write me at DM Live. Tell me your experience. DM Live at redboxmedia.com. We will see you tomorrow. I am Dr. Michelle. We are walking this road together. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.